Everybody, Kate Delaney, with a big shout-out to all of you in those nooks and crannies who will be happy to learn that Carnival canceled trips across the board. The Triumph has been taken out of service. Woohoo! Like, a lot of people were going to really get on that boat. So many people had to sleep outside that the boat was shifting. Because it was a nightmare for 4 days. No bathrooms, no showers, and still many live to tell the tale. So the Triumph out of service, and they had to cancel hundreds of cruises down the line because that's going to be, they're going to be, it's going to be out for a while, apparently. All right, coming up on this show, we'll dive into the politics that should be, but the politics instead that are, and Israel and the U.S. and the big fat divide. How is that ultimately going to be bridged? Benjamin Netanyahu pulling no punches. The Arab Spring with some whole hard, cold realities, especially in Tunisia, which was the first to fall, if you remember. But I think the most interesting thing happening in the Middle East is this idea that chemical weapons are being used in Syria, because is it truly a game changer if you're talking about people being gassed, you know, mustard seed, and boom, you're out? I mean, I hate to say it, but it's like an extermination. And that was supposed to be the line that could not be crossed, according to our president. So what does that mean? But I still ask you, because you're the taxpayer, and you're going to foot the bill if we get heavily involved in this, would you pay to keep these people safe from the chemical weapons that might be being waged against them in Syria? Is this one of those humanitarian things now where you might have said before, well, you know what, hey, we can't keep investing in all these countries and trying to wage war on whoever it is that's doing atrocious things. We want to be there. We want to be there to help, but we just have to draw a line in the sand somewhere. Does that mean that that's been lifted because of the fact that you're talking about, really, like I said, an extermination? So I'm going to throw out the digits right at the top. 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283, and coming up here in our next segment, we are going to take you to Hawaii to talk to a man who is living in a tent in Hawaii for his latest experiment. And actually, what we're going to talk about is the fact that so many people, and now this could be because of parks being closed, so many people who are taking these wild thousands and thousands of dollar vacations to the Bahamas, other parts of the Caribbean, the Bermuda, the Mexican Riviera and whatnot, could stuff some cash in their pockets and actually get an incredible vacation simply by looking around them with what we have to offer here in the United States with the national parks. And I was thinking about this today, knowing we were going to have this conversation. How many parks have I been to? I mean, have you been to Yellowstone? Have you been to Yosemite Park? Have you been to the Appalachian Trail lately? I mean, really, Big Bend, there's some great parks, it really is true. And I have been to many of them, but not in a long time. Grand Canyon, I know there's the joke in that movie Guilt Trip where Streisand is with Seth Rogen, and they say, hey, let's go to the Grand Canyon. They stare and they say, well, how long do we have to sit here? It's beautiful. How long do we have to sit here and stare? Well, probably 10 minutes and then we're okay. But when you actually ride the Colorado River, which is incredible, or you go up and down the canyon, it's a massive, massive canyon. It's an amazing feeling, and it's definitely, I think it's definitely worth visiting the Grand Canyon. So, how many parks? I'm curious, how many parks have you been to? Hands down, what's the best? How about all you folks in the West Coast? You know, you look at the Sequoias, you think of the Sequoias, Washington State, you have some great parks in We have a great park, actually, in Washington State. But I'm wondering, in this audience, have many of you been able to take advantage of that? Or actually, have you wanted to do that? I think that there is magic in these places, but you have to know how to discover them. And the other thing is, you have to have the time. And the time can be very, very tricky for a lot of people because, you know, it's that whole thing about parachuting in and out, boom. We want convenience. We want it to be easy. Just get on the plane, take the trips, the side trips, get on the boats and all that kind of stuff. And when you go to a park, especially if you're camping out, it's a little more work. So I can't wait to talk to Mike Oswald. And it's funny, we were having this conversation about parks, and here it turns out he's in Hawaii, probably in one of the parks in Hawaii, in a tent somewhere, and that's how he's been living to actually enjoy some of the things that he thinks a lot of people are missing out on. And I agree. It's been a while for me, but when I lived in the West, I used to have a big hankering to see everything that I could see in some of these amazing parks, and I had the chance to do it, and I'm glad I took the opportunity. All right, speaking of road trips, how about a trip straight to the pen for a very long time? Finally, the judge and the court-martial of an Army psychiatrist charged in that crazy shooting spree, remember, at Fort Hood, rejected three options for a guilty plea and ordered him to face trial. Woohoo! That's two pieces of good news. Triumph out of action, and Major Hassan, who went crazy killing 13 people at Fort Hood in November of 2009, really the worst incident on a military base, the fact that he's got to stand trial, I think, is just. He needs to stand trial. In fact, it was Colonel Tara Osborne, I'm going to give her credit, who ruled that pretrial publicity around the case would not unfairly prejudice the jury and set the start of jury selection for May 29th. That means testimony is scheduled to begin July 1st. And Hassan's lawyers were pushing hard for this, filing all kinds of motions. It was paperwork, and pounds of it, that he was willing to plead guilty with those three scenarios. But the details of what those scenarios were not clear, but they were all turned down, saying it would be tantamount to admitting guilt to a capital offense, which is not permitted under military law. Thank goodness. Thank goodness. And remember, this is a guy, Hassan, who ended up being paralyzed from the waist down because he was also hit by the police once they were there. And he was in court in a wheelchair, very, very thin, wearing a beard. You know, he has a full-on beard. And this attack was terrible. You know, you've got to think back. So much has happened since 2009, and you sort of forget about it. But we can't forget about things like this because it was an atrocity beyond all boundaries when you've got people who are willing to make the ultimate sacrifice, unfortunately, who are gunned down by one of their own on an Army base. So good ruling there. Great way to start out the show. We're going to Hawaii next. Woohoo! Aloha on America Tonight. Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment frequent basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Quantitative easing, unemployment at depression levels, Europe financial system falling apart, China getting out of U.S. treasuries. At the end of 2008, the time of TARP, the national debt was at $11 trillion, gold trading around $850 per ounce. Close to 2012, the national debt exceeded $16.4 trillion, gold doubled to $1,600 per ounce. The $20 trillion threshold for the national debt is inevitable. Politicians in Washington have a ferocious appetite for spending and stimulus. What's worse, a printing press to finance. 100 years ago, we had a gold standard to limit this madness, but now you have to adopt your own gold standard. Don't be fooled with paper promises. Get Midas Resources 10 Reasons to Buy Gold free by calling 800-686-2237. Understanding the gold and silver market may be the only insurance you could have to avoiding the next economic crisis. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order your free copy. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
There's 58 national parks, and I think that I've been to only 10. I have to go back and calculate that, but I enjoyed every single one where I went, and I mentioned Grand Canyon and how big that was. I actually hiked the canyon stupidly because I should have spent more time in one day, but it was breathtaking and spent a couple of days camping and whatnot. How many of you have opted to do that instead of taking those hot holidays where you're spending thousands of dollars like we talked about before? Very pleased to welcome our next guest. He's in Hawaii. I'm so jealous. Hawaii is one of my favorite places. And he probably needs to chill out in a tent somewhere there because he wrote a 700-page, fully illustrated, meticulously researched guide to national parks. It is called Your Guide to National Parks. Mike Oswald joins us now. Mike, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Hi, Gabe. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. So first of all, I was trying to get in touch with you during the day, and I learned that you were in a tent in Hawaii. Tell me where you are in Hawaii. Tell the listeners and why you're in a tent instead of some Shishi Four Seasons resort or something.
Well, that's kind of a matter of economics for why I spend the night in the tent. It's kind of the way I like to do things, too. Everybody asks me if I eat at all the restaurants and stay at all the fancy resorts, and I'd be broke if I tried to stay at all the resorts here because they're upwards of $300 a night. So I think it's better served for me to read reviews from Urban Spoon and Yelp and those sorts of things to get multiple people's opinions of places like that.
Yeah.
But I'm here basically to start the next project, Your Guide to Hawaii. When I was here before for the two national parks here, I pretty much gave it short shrift and came, left, and I guess to be honest, the cold weather in Wisconsin did play a significant factor in my decision to come to Hawaii, too.
So are you, what island are you on right now?
I'm on the Big Island right now. I'm in Hilo.
Oh, the Big Island is great. The volcano, there's so much to see there, and I bet you there's great places to hike.
It is. The park probably takes the cake for the best hiking destinations on this island, but there are others. There are a few state parks and lots of trails going along the coastline, connecting beaches. But the beaches are fantastic too. There's so much good snorkeling here and all sorts of activities. It's a Big Island's probably either one of my two favorite islands between this and Kauai.
Yeah, good for you. Oh, so 700 pages. You were meticulous about putting this together. How long did it take to pull? You know, to go to all these parks and to put all this information together in the book?
It was a four-year project.
Ooh.
And, like, real 4 years, not eight-hour work days we're talking about. Like, two years going park to park in my car. And I haven't been to all the parks. I've been to 48 of the 58 when the book was published. Now there's the 59th. Just on January 10th, President Obama signed a law adding Pinnacles in California to the parks portfolio. But, so it took 2 years of wandering around, going park to park, hit 48 of the 58, then another 2 years at my computer, and that was literally waking up, making a 25-foot commute from my bed to my office, and just taking breaks to eat, go to the bathroom, and in the mornings I played basketball on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. But other than that, it was just sitting at my computer, plodding away.
How cool. What was your favorite? I mean, this is a tough question. Come on, you just talked about Hawaii and the great snorkeling and the Big Island and Kauai. But do you have a favorite? If you were going to rank them, 1, 2, and 3 for you, Mike, what would it be?
1, 2, and 3. If number one would definitely be, like, if I could have a park in my backyard, I would choose Glacier in Montana, just on the Canadian border.
Yeah.
It's just the backcountry is really big and dramatic, and it's so, like, pristine, and like John Muir said, it has the best caracilling scenery in the United States, and I couldn't agree more with him. 2 and 3, I mean, it is really hard picking because each one is so unique and so beautiful in its own way, but probably Yosemite, if like Yosemite Valley is just phenomenal, and maybe something in the Southwest. Arches, I like Arches a lot. I don't know, I like all of Utah. It is hard to pick.
Utah's
really great. I'll just pick Utah and those two.
So how does a kid from Wisconsin get hooked on this? Were you a big camper? Did you like to explore when you were a little boy?
I definitely like to explore. I grew up on a little hobby farm, and my parents just kind of let me at free reign, just shoo me out the door and go muck around and figure stuff out. But we weren't a big camping family. And my first park visit was the typical affair. I was with friends, and we knew of the Grand Canyon. We're like, we should go, and we basically went there in a rental car, snapped some pictures, hiked around the rim, and then left right away. Went to Las Vegas, and later I found out what I was missing out on, and I wanted to share that with other people. And it is also trying to make a union of something I'm extremely passionate about and like a lot, and make that my career.
Yeah, good for you. In your book, you really cover everything, the gamut, from where to stay, things that you can do, and you even say ranger programs. There's a lot of ranger programs, huh?
Oh, the ranger programs are great. That's for all your listeners. If they're ever going to a national park, you should definitely, that's the first thing I would beeline for, is go to the visitor center, check out the ranger program schedule, or else you can go online and check it in advance, and it's honestly worth planning your trip around these programs. They're all free. They're almost all free. A couple of them are a couple bucks. But the range is so enthusiastic about everything. And like just a couple days ago, I was at Volcanoes, and this kid giving the tour. He grew up less than a mile from the last big eruption, and his dad was out there surfing. His lava's flowing into the ocean, and he said the water's getting really hot, and people are yelling at him like, "Get out of the ocean!" And all these surfers are out there, and it's just cool getting these firsthand stories from people that actually grew up next to the parks and in them, and they have a much more like unique park story compared to me, who just kind of wandered around them and like, "Yeah, maybe I should do this."
Yeah, boy, that's great advice. Like you said, always look for the ranger programs. Do you think, I think it's kind of sad because there are, like I have a great friend, her name's Jalen, and if she could just live, I think, in all of these national parks, she probably would. But she's unique in my crowd, most opting for the comfort of the hotel and the vacation where you're shelling out some big bucks. But you say people are missing out if they're doing that, right?
The parks cater to those types, too. There are a ton of really neat lodges where they take meticulous detail to have the lodges match the scenery. So the lodges are kind of an attraction in their own right. And some of them are really expensive, like Jenny Lake Lodge at Grand Teton National Park. It's upwards of $600 a night to spend the night there. And Yosemite has some great lodges. Almost all the really popular ones have lodges you can go to and have all the comforts of home. Just me personally, I kind of like my tent. And for doing projects like this, I always feel like I need to eat poorly and sleep poorly, or else I would be doing it forever and I'd never make a product. I would just stay out here forever, and then I'd have to find some other way to sustain my lifestyle.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you must be a pretty good camper, right? I mean, you have to have – you probably can set up any kind of tent.
I would like to take that challenge on, but I'm not sure. I don't know. Don't know if I could. I'm pretty comfortable though outdoors, and I do everything like also at Volcanoes. The other day, I was walking to the current flow where lava tubes are pouring lava into the ocean right now. I was talking to a man who was going out at dark, and he was trying to convince me to go back there with him because I told him I was the only guy out there, and he's like, "Really? I thought there'd be at least a dozen people out there." And I'm like, "No." He's like, "You want to turn around?" And it would have added 10 miles to my hike. I'm like, I'm prepared to spend the night here, but I really don't want to. And we were both out. We're just laying down on the lava rock and spending the night. So, yeah, I could sleep in unorthodox places and non-traditional places, but I'm comfortable in the tent as well.
There you go. All right, Mike, we look forward to your next work. If people want to pick up your guide to national parks, can they get it at the usual places like the Amazons and whatnot?
Yep, it's available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and pretty much any bookstore near you. They can at least get their hands on it through wholesalers if you just know the title, Your Guide to the National Parks.
All right, I love it. Michael O., aloha. Enjoy the islands.
Hey, thanks a lot, Kate. You have a good one.
Thank you. Ah, snorkeling, that sounds so good. I want to go right now. Oh, and plus I want to go check out, like he said, I've never been to Glacier in Montana, but I've heard the same thing. Stay with us, everybody. I'm going to fantasize about my next vacation.
Heart and Body Extract continues to receive positive testimonials from people who have experienced amazing results, like Reed.
I just wanted to send you a quick but a very big thank you for Heart and Body Extract. I've been on the formula for nearly a month now, and the improvement in the circulation of my leg has been simply amazing.
Reed was facing a tough choice.
I was facing surgery due to the severity of the 100% blocked arteries in both my legs. And my decision, waiting for surgery, to say no and try Heart and Body Extract instead, has been thankfully the right decision.
And the result?
I can now walk up steps without noticeable pain.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, for a long and healthy life.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Radio advertising on GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is simple, affordable, and reaches millions. How do we do it? Let's break it down. First, the simple part. You tell us about your business. Then our expert radio copywriters write your copy. We hire professional voice talent.
Hello there. I'm a professional announcer.
And then produce your ad with just the right music and feel. Voila. Simple. How affordable? 60-second ads on GCN are the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And that brings us to reach. Millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 700 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. That's it. A one-stop shop. Creative radio ads. Very affordable rates. Millions of potential customers and customer service that can't be beat. See our current list of satisfied advertisers at GCNlive.com. Then shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Utopia Silver understands that mainstream medicine and the rising cost of health care can financially destroy any family. We simply cannot afford to get sick. The only option is to stay healthy. Americans are learning that ill health is not caused by a deficiency of drugs. It's usually the result of a deficiency of minerals, vitamins, proper nutrition, and exercise. UtopiaSilver.com offers colloidal silver and healing protocols for vaccine and radiation poisoning, arthritis, insomnia, and more. If you're sick of unconstitutional government mandates, then stand up now and say no. The time is growing short to put this evil genie back in its bottle. Join Utopia Silver in promoting good health and fighting for our God-given health care rights. Visit UtopiaSilver.com, UtopiaSilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338.
Not if you're involved with the brackets. Office pools have gotten absurdly out of control. It's crazy how many people become fans of college basketball once they get that bracket in their hands. Russ Bradford, so excited to welcome him to the show. I mean, what an amazing career he's had. Let me give him the good setup here and walk down the hardwoods, right? So he coached hoop at UTEP and New Mexico State for 14 seasons before giving it up, resigning, to jump into writing. And he's won all kinds of awards for several of the things that he's put together, including, I love this, since I just went to Ireland a few months ago. He went to Ireland, and this was back in like 2002, and he wrote an interesting memoir, Patty on the Hardwood, A Journey in Irish Hoops. Do you know what coach he was talking about? That's a trivia question. If you can answer it, I'll give you a copy of Level the Playing Field. And then he published 40 Minutes of Hell, The Extraordinary Life of Nolan Richardson, and that won a Southwest Book Award and all kinds of accolades from even the likes of former President Bill Clinton. Russ, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight. We appreciate you hanging with us.
Kate, I'm delighted to be here with you.
So, for you, somebody who lived and breathed the game of basketball, what's it like when people start talking about the brackets and March Madness? Do you get involved in any of that?
I was really lucky. I was in eight NCAA tournaments as an assistant coach. But you know, it's a little bit of a mirage. People think that this is what college basketball is about, and in some ways it is. But there's the flip side of things is that 80% of the teams are staying home, and there'll be coaches fired, and there's a lot of heartbreak and ulcers and busted marriages involved as well. So I have mixed feelings about the whole business even now.
Yeah, you were there with the great at UTEP with the great Don Haskins. What was Haskins like to work with?
Well, he was a complicated guy. He was complex, and he wasn't easy to pigeonhole in many ways. You know, the new book Make It Take It is sort of the idea with the new book is I wanted to get people behind the scenes. You know, that kind of question is something I'd get asked all the time. What was Haskins really like, or what did he say at halftime, or what did he tell Tim Hardaway during that timeout? And a lot of it, what I was up to, the new book, Make It Take It, is very much supposed to be an insider's look at what it's really like. You know, there's only a couple pages of on-the-court stuff, and the rest is kind of what goes on in the locker rooms and hotel rooms and recruiting trips and bus trips and that kind of thing. But Haskins was a complicated guy, and he was very gruff and difficult to be around. He sort of believed in the power of negative thinking. As long as you thought negatively, nothing was going to turn out that bad. Seemed to be his MO.
How much pressure was there with the recruiting? A lot of pressure, I imagine.
There was plenty of pressure, and a lot. You know, part of it is, you know, all coaches sort of live and die on the decisions of 18-year-olds, and that's quite a thing to stake your livelihood on, is the decisions of often immature. Like, we were all immature at 18, right? At 19,
and again,
that's one of the things that makes it. Business very volatile is that besides that there's human beings involved, there's kids involved, and so there's these giant careers at stake, and both for the coaches, you know, with rollover contracts, and players with hoping to get to the NBA.
Yeah, the game certainly has changed too, evolved over the years in different directions. Do you think it's rougher is not the best word, I guess. Do you think it's gotten tougher for the kids that play, that are looking for the big prize, to grab the brass ring to get to the NBA, because it's hurry up, make the decision, that kind of stuff, or no? How has it evolved, the game?
Well, I think it's gotten, the pressure's increased dramatically, Kate, because of television dollars. You know, when I first started working at UTEP, this was 1983, not so very long ago, Don Haskins was making $75,000 a year, and there were 12 people working in the athletic department. Now there's over 100 people working in the athletic department, so there's a lot of careers and livelihoods and a lot more money at stake. And I think that's sort of what I'm after in the new book, in Make It Take It, is just how the pressure really affects people, and that that there are no good decisions when there's that kind of money involved and that kind of pressure involved, that there's a lot of broken hearts.
Is there a way, do you think, to roll some of this back, or no? It's like, I mean, sports couldn't be bigger, you know that, and because of that, and because of all the money at stake and the money to run these programs, even as I ask you this question, I don't think you can put that genie back in the bottle, do you?
I don't. I think it's gotten out of hand. You know, it's like the arms race. You know, I don't want to argue politics with you, but we've got 3,000 nuclear warheads, and we couldn't possibly use 5 of them in a worst case scenario. And I think it's part of it gets to be sort of a copycat kind of thing, is that everyone needs a new practice facility, and everyone needs a video coordinator, I think it's a little bit out of hand. I don't know. The one thing I'd like to see happen, I don't have all the answers, or any answers really, but the one thing I'd like to see happen is guys who play Division I basketball and football have a lifetime, if they ever want to come back and finish school or go on to a master's, that they'd have a lifetime, uh, a sort of a lifetime contract to go on and do that. And you know, Kate, I should say that from an ethical standpoint, I'm not wild about the idea of coaches making $2 million a year and the players making room, board, tuition, and books. But from a writerly standpoint, it's been great. You know, I can't think of a better, you know, more complicated system and more ripe for conflict. And that's what the Make It Take It with the new novel that just came out. That's what I'm after, is trying to expose that complicated system, not from an ethical standpoint again, but just for how difficult it is to be a human being in that kind of system.
What do you think people would be surprised to learn about that happens inside, Russ, a college locker room?
Well, I think it's very businesslike, and it's very much, you know, there's kids involved, but I think for the most part, they're treated, not that they're treated like a piece of meat, or it's not quite that bad, but it's very much a business, and everybody's happy when you win, and everybody's upset when you lose, and there's no life lessons that are, or a lot less life lessons being taught than you would hope for, and, you know, the pressure is just immense, you know, and if a kid's a great kid and a great student but not a great player, he's probably going to lose his scholarship. And that kind of system, you know, because there's so much at stake, I think it's just sort of the business aspect of things, and it can be kind of cold-blooded. And I think that's what would surprise most people.
Yeah. We mentioned Don Haskins, but also you worked with Lou Henson. Was Lou... I would imagine Lou was a little bit different than Don. Their personalities were...
In many ways, they were similar because they were both very stubborn and stuck to the fundamentals of the game. But Lou was incredibly upbeat and incredibly positive and very forward-looking, and you couldn't get him to say a bad thing about anybody. And at first I thought, well, we'll see what happens when we lose a tough game. But we, you know, when he would lose tough games, he was still upbeat, and he'd come in and say... So he was... But I would have to say he's freakishly unusual. He doesn't curse, and so that's kind of rubbed off on the players. They stopped cursing, and so I think he's an anomaly. He's not at all typical. But they were both they're both very old school guys in some ways, and they I think one of the things, Kate, for all of us, I think the biggest thing to learn from both Don Haskins and Lou Henson is they would bend on some things, and on other things they were utterly inflexible. But they'd, you know, eventually Don Haskins and Lou Henson would take players with tattoos or players with earrings or that kind of thing. But there are some things that they wouldn't bend on at all, and I think that's something to, you know, for all of us to live by is, you know, stick with certain things, and other things we have to be flexible on.
Yeah, absolutely. Was it tough to resign? Because, you know, when you're in the chaos and the excitement, you get weary of it, you can complain and whatnot, but then all of a sudden, boom, you're out of the cyclone, and now you're doing something cool, and you love it, and you obviously have the passion for it, and you have had an incredible career on the writing side. But was it scary to take that leap?
It was, and you know, the original plan was to write, you know, the book that just came out, Make It Take It. That was the original plan in 2000. I'd already been working on it for 3 years, and I thought, well, I'll just get this book out, and everything will go. But then I went to Ireland thinking it would be easy, and that's the memoir came out. And then I ran into Nolan Richardson. I thought somebody ought to do this book, but it was terrifying in some ways. I don't, as an English professor now at New Mexico State, I make about $25,000 less than I did as an assistant basketball coach, you know, 13 years ago.
Yeah.
And so I was giving up pretty good money, and I built up a lifetime of contacts and a little bit of knowledge. And so it was terrifying in some ways, but in some ways it was a great relief. You know, coaching in college basketball was never hard work. I mean, to watch a game film or to, you know, go visit a recruit in Philadelphia or Chicago, but there's never days off. And I've gotten much more selfish about my time, and I'm more in control of my time. Writing is much more of a solitary kind of passion, and I don't depend so much on the whims of teenagers and the luck of the bounce of a ball.
Yeah, there you go. Well said. Hey, we have 30 seconds left. Who wins this tournament?
Jesus, I'm probably the wrong guy. It wouldn't hurt my feelings if Indiana won. I don't know Tom Crean well, but I like him from the little bit I know him. If I had to pick one, I'd say Indiana. I'd
love
to see New Mexico State do well. You know, New Mexico State's in it again.
They are, but it's not. It's Indiana. I like that guess. Russ, thanks. Pick up his book, Make It, Take It. We'll be back.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pillow, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. Or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Gardeners, here comes another growing season, but don't use last year's soil. Maximize yields in your survival garden with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 is an organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant that provides a broad spectrum of beneficial microorganisms, enzymes, trace minerals, vitamins, and various organic acids. EM1 helps regulate the soil's pH level and its soil microbes, improving moisture retention and drought tolerance. Remember last year's dry conditions? EM1 from Terraganics is safe, chemical-free, and certified for use on all organic farms. It improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, and gives up to 20% more nutrient value in fruits and vegetables and greatly increases shelf life. And EM1 is so simple to use, just mix with water and apply. This year, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanix.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics, life's getting better.
Over 50,000 satisfied squatting customers can't be wrong. If you suffer from difficult or painful bowel movements, join the thousands who are finding success with a Squatty Potty. Not a cleanse, ointment, or pill, Squatty Potty is a simple, lightweight, yet sturdy footstool that fits around any toilet and elevates your feet. Squatty Potty improves your posture, and that allows proper alignment of the colon. The result is faster, more effective elimination and relief from nagging constipation, hemorrhoids, IBS, and blood. Loading. Squatty Potty is doctor recommended and endorsed and comes with a 60-day hassle-free money-back guarantee. The Squatty Potty, a healthy step in the right direction. Squatty Potty starts at just $34.95 and can only be ordered by calling 855-628-1099 or through our website, squattypotty.com, spelled SQUATTY potty.com. Squatty Potty, healthy colon, happy life.
What spring is like on Jupiter Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, darling, kiss me. Feel my.
All right, as we make this final turn, a reminder that we have our Nail the Hoops Break Your Bracket Challenge, and that comes up in our third hour. You can send me your guesses once we announce the games, or because we're going to give you two chances, just like the lottery, or you can call us and participate in the three segments where we're doing that. We're trying to clear out the prize closet, so maybe you'll be our next big winner on America Tonight. But before we hit that, and we're on our final couple of turns here for this hour, how about the boo of the week? You know what the boo of the week is? The Senate rejected the plan to fund White House tours. Yep. You know why? $74,000 a week is what it would cost. $74,000. Do you believe it? To tour the White House. And that's because of the whole Secret Service thing, if you haven't heard that. But the Senate was having none of it. The idea to plan to pay for it is not happening. So if you were wishing, hoping, praying that it would pass, here's how it failed. 54-44 margin. It was sponsored by Republican Senator Tom Coburn from Oklahoma, and it would have been part of the piece of legislation to push that the federal government is funded through the remainder of the fiscal year, but it didn't go through. So, you know, typically they've got 30 to 40 officers assigned to the tours, and they're reassigning them to other duties. So 74,000 is what we're talking about. Boo! How's that audience? See, they don't like it in Minnesota either. I mean, really, what's $74,000? Cop in New Jersey says that's pocket change to them. It is pocket change to them. So no White House tours. If you were in line, you bugged your particular senator or congressperson to get those tickets, sorry, you are out of luck. Sorry, Charlie, it's not happening. All right, we go from the sad tale of no tours at the White House to this incredible story. I am so tired of not being the person who goes to the garage sale and ends up walking away with something worth at least $1 million. How do these people do it? I don't understand. It's just got to be incredible luck. And as for that, how about the people who are throwing away or selling for nothing these treasures that they had no idea what they were worth? Let me finish with the story here. There was a New York family that had a giant payday. They went to a garage sale and they bought a bowl for $3. Turned out to be a 1,000-year-old Chinese piece that sold for $2.2 million at Sotheby's yesterday. They bought the bowl at a secondhand sale in 2007, and it sat on their mantle for years. And they got a little curious, so they started to consult people about the bowl. They wanted to know more about it. They finally brought it to Sotheby's, and they estimated that it would sell somewhere between $200,000 to $300,000. But yesterday, a London art dealer blew those numbers away. Can you imagine, first of all, for someone to say, hey, you're going to get $300,000, that'd be huge. But then he plunks down $2.2 million because it was like museum quality. He beat four other bidders for the Northern Song Dynasty Bowl, known as the Ding Bowl. It's the Ding Bowl. It dates back to the 10th or 11th century. This is why it was worth this, though. Check this out. There's only one other bowl like it in the world, and it's in the British Museum. Now, what I want to know is, how about the people who sold that bowl at this secondhand deal for $3? Are you kidding? $3? I mean, talk about hitting a big score. And plus the fact that it sat there for so long. For all that time, all those years, somebody could have knocked it over, something could have happened, and they might have been curious about the bowl, and which obviously they were, and then later went to explore and find out what it would be worth, but not thinking that. They had to be bowled over, get it? The Ding Bowl. And it's a small bowl. I saw a picture of it. I mean, it's a cute little bowl, but it's nothing. If you looked at it, I can see why it would be in the, I can see why it would be at a garage sale. It's about 5.5 inches in diameter, and it could just be mistaken kind of for an ashtray. And it's just like a utilitarian kind of bowl. And I think that's why the people who had it had no idea what it was. Had no idea what they were actually holding in their hands, because they certainly wouldn't have sold it at a garage sale for a couple of bucks. I mean, that's an amazing story. $2 million is a game changer. I'm sorry. That's a game changer for somebody to have a piece that sat there for that whole time, and then to find out ultimately that they could get some pretty decent money, and then to hit the big time with the lottery type ticket. It's like a lottery. It's like they won the lottery. A small lottery, but they won a lottery simply by asking some questions about it. I guess when you go somewhere and you start to, you know, if you're one of those garage sale types and you see something that looks a little different from other bowls or other pieces of china or whatever it is that you have, it makes sense to ask questions, because you just don't know what they could ultimately tell you might get for it. Wow, crazy. All right, now to really wind down the show, why not jump over to the Middle East? We started in the Middle East, so why not finish there? Netanyahu, I mentioned him briefly at the beginning. President Obama is trying to reassure Israel that we are here for you, baby. We got your back in the face of all this nuclear Iran stuff, saying that he believes there's still time to resolve diplomatically what's going on. He appeared with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, saying the time is short, but he thinks something good can still come out of this. Netanyahu said sanctions and diplomacy have not stopped Iran's ambitions, saying that it's not working, but added that all options are on the table. So here's the bottom line. Let me cut through the nonsense. Netanyahu wants to hit Iran. He doesn't want to wait anymore. He realizes how dangerous it is, and he doesn't want to have Ahmadinejad. He doesn't want to have his regime be armed up even more. And this was a two-day swing through Israel, by the way, for the press, and the chance for the two of them to kind of shore up their relationship, if you will. Remember, Obama visited as a candidate, and this is his first visit to Israel since taking office in 2009. And this is a scary time for the people in Tel Aviv. It's a scary time for the country itself, and that's why Netanyahu is saying, you know, they want to make sure America's there, but at the same time, they don't want to just let the sanctions eat them up, and never accomplish the ultimate goal. And I agree with Netanyahu. Time is running short. For goodness sake, we've been saying this for years. And then what's going to happen eventually? I mean, really, eventually, is it going to be too late? And Netanyahu is going to be frustrated beyond all get out and just want to drop bombs, because he realizes how precarious it is for Iran bordering on the country and Israel's relationship. And he doesn't have much patience for this anymore. You could see it in his very stern face when he was standing there with President Obama. Oh, well. We still don't have peace in the Middle East completely, do we? And we've been talking about that for 30, 40, I don't know, 50 years. Any thoughts? Send them to me at americatonight.net.
We got 3 hours left on this thing, and I can't drive and argue with you rules all at the same time?
Safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.